we continue the series Ready, Set, Grow. If you were here with us last week, you understand that this series is all about challenging you to further develop your spiritual life in Christ, beginning with where you're at today, no matter what season you're in, no matter where you're at in that journey. We're asking ourselves some very personal questions. What in me needs change? What in me needs to be renewed? What needs to have new growth? What needs improvement? How's my faith? How's my thoughts? Where's my mind at during the day? When I'm at work, when I'm at home, when I'm thinking about my family, where am I really at? I may be physically there, but am I mentally there? Am I emotionally there? Am I spiritually in the place that God wants me to be? Lord, what is it in me right here, right now, that you need to do as I further along my steps with you? We know, church, that no matter what season God has us in, and no matter where we're at in life, no matter our age, whether we're young or whether we're older, that in every single season, God wants to grow us. Many times over in the past several weeks, even in the previous series, I took you to Psalm 92. That verse alone tells us, that passage in Psalm 92 tells us that even as we grow older, we will still grow, we will still bear fruit, we will still increase in who we are in the Lord. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5 tells us that we will increase in our learning. Even those who are wise, even those who have received, even those who know and have a good understanding of the Lord, they will continue to increase in their lives. We can go to Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, chapter 4, verse 15, talking about growth. He says, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined, held together, every joint with being equipped. And when each part is working properly, it makes the entire body grow as it's built up in love. And that's what God's doing. He's growing us as individuals, but he's also growing us as a church. And the more we personally grow, the more increase in our lives, but also the more increase that takes place right here in this body of believers. We know that the call to personal growth is the heartbeat for God, for his people, because increased growth in our lives results in increased fruit. And that's what it comes down to. We can go to the words of Jesus, the words of Christ. John chapter 15, you know it well, verse number 4, where he says, remain in me and I will remain in you, for a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. You will not grow, you will not bear fruit unless you remain, your spirit, your soul, you remain right where God wants you to be in him. He goes on to say in verse 5, yes, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Those words of Christ alone let us know that bearing fruit as a believer, growing, increasing, and multiplying, bearing that fruit in our lives, it's not an option, but it is just something that naturally occurs in those who are in Christ. Amen? And that's where Paul is taking the believers in the Colossian letter, and that's where we started last week, and that's where we will go once again today. Paul is saying to this church, to know God, believe God, trust God, please God, and to pursue God is understanding and growing in the revelation that you have. It's that Christ is in us. That's what he's speaking to them. I want to pick up in Colossians, and we're in chapter 1. We left off at verse 14, so we pick it up in verse number 15. I'm not going to read verses 15 through 20 because that is a passage that we really zeroed in on the Beautiful Name series back in December. But you will find here is that the Apostle Paul, he's writing to the church, and he continues to speak into them that Christ is above all, that he is all they need in life pertaining to the Christian life. So you can see there, I broke it down for you. He speaks to them and says that Christ is the very image of the invisible God. He's the creator of all things. He's before all things. He holds all things together. He is head of the church. He is the dwelling of God's fullness, and he is the reconciler of all things in heaven and in earth. He is speaking to them and challenging them and letting them know that no matter who tries to come in and say otherwise, Christ is enough for you in your life. His grace is sufficient. His love is sufficient. His power is unending. And all that you need, his knowledge, his wisdom, his joy, and his peace, everything that you and I search for in life, we will find it in our relationship with Jesus Christ. He speaks to them and let them know Christ is above all. Well, let's pick up our text here, chapter 1, verse 21. And there's a continuation in thought. So when we get to verse 29, we'll go ahead and move into chapter 2 and read those first five verses. Colossians 1, verse 21, Paul writes, "And you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast and not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. And in my flesh, I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, and that is the church of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery." And then he tells us what the mystery is. He says, "Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone, teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this, Paul says, I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me." And he goes on in chapter 2, verse 1, carrying on that thought. "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those, the church at Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the richness of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, again, which is Christ, and whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments, for though I am absent in body," in other words, I'm not able to be with you, "yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ." Now, let me take you back just for a moment to verse number 27, because that's really the crux here of what Paul is saying in this entire letter when he says to them that to the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, and the mystery is Christ in you. There's no mystery for you to figure out anymore, because the gospel message, Jesus Christ, Savior, Lord, and Savior of the world, that is the mystery that has been given to the church. That is Christ in your life. The NLT says it like this: "For God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for the Gentiles, and this is the secret, that Christ lives in you." I really like the way the message reads. It says God wanted everyone, not just the Jews. He wanted them to know this rich and glorious secret inside and out, regardless of their background, regardless of their religious standing. The mystery in a nutshell is just this: Christ is in you. Therefore, you can look forward to sharing in God's glory. It's that simple. That is the substance of our message. So he's really driving home that central truth, that Christ in us. Church, can I tell you, as I read Paul's letter and as we look at it together, the core of spiritual growth is understanding that revelation that Christ lives inside of every single believer. Christ in us. When we as a people begin to understand and apply this truth, our life significantly begins to transform. When we look within and we place our focus on Christ in us, we cannot help but to begin to cultivate a life of Christian growth and bearing good fruit. When we really understand that revelation, when we really understand that word, that Christ lives inside of me, every part of our life begins to want to cultivate this atmosphere, begin to cultivate within and that which works outside of our lives, cultivate this growth and to bear good fruit for the cause of Jesus Christ. In other words, there's just going to be a desire. There's going to be a desire for more of God. Now, when we say more of God, we're not adding to our salvation, because when you believe, then you are saved. But as that saving work is taking place within your life, and as Christ lives inside of you, and as you begin to understand that, you have this desire, this labor, this striving within that says, I want to know him more, and I want to increase, and I want to multiply, and I want to walk in the fullness of his peace, walk in the fullness of his joy, walk in the fullness of all the abundance that he has to offer. I want to walk in the fullness of his power. When I pray, I want to pray in the fullness of God. When I speak on behalf of my friends and of my family, when I lay hands upon them and I pray for them and I believe God for a miracle in their life, I want to pray in the fullness of God's power in which he has given me in my life. Amen. That's what Paul is saying. And as there's individuals trying to come in and take their faith away from that gospel message, he's speaking into them. He says, don't let anything pull you away from the revelation and the knowledge that God has given us, that Christ is in us. And it is Christ who transforms every area of our lives. Now, in the midst of many teachings, because we got to understand the time of this letter, in the midst of many teachings being mixed in with the truth of Christ, the Colossian believers needed to hear Paul's anointed words. You see, transformation and growth and bearing good fruit in your life does not come from following a set of legalistic rules. There were those in the church trying to present this legalism, and that wasn't the answer. Transformation and growth and bearing good fruit do not come from some secret knowledge outside of the gospel of Christ. That was this Gnostic teaching that was taking place within the church. Transformation and growth and bearing good fruit do not come from abusing or treating your body harshly as some form of merited self-denial, as there were those trying to present that to the Colossian church. Transformation and growth and bearing good fruit do not come from exalting and worshiping angelic beings while lowering Christ, as those among them were trying to do. Transformation and growth and bearing good fruit do not come from humanity and what humanity gives you, but it comes from God and God alone, and it's when he places Christ inside your life. So Paul to the Colossians, he is saying, hold tightly to the truth of the gospel message as you keep growing and moving forward and bearing fruit as Christ is in your life. Now, as Paul drives this home, he takes a few moments here, and you saw the shift in verse number 24, where he begins to focus just for a few verses on the ministry that he has to the church. Now, from his ministry, we receive insight on spiritual growth, not only by the words and the proclamation that he gives, but also through his very own actions in which he gives description of. So I'm going to look at those two things. The first one is this. Let's take a look at his words, the proclamation that he gives to the church. Paul passionately proclaims the intent of his ministry in chapter 1, verse 28, when he says he is to warn, to teach, and he wants to present everyone mature in Christ. That was his ministry to the church. We know that spiritual growth of the believers in Colossae was necessary if the church was to survive, if they were going to remain effective, if they were going to move forward, if they were going to bear fruit in an ever-shifting culture. They needed this word from the Apostle Paul. From saving knowledge, they must continue to mature. They must continue to receive. They must continue to give. They must continue to move forward and must continue to grow and bear that fruit as they live in Christ. How many of you know if we don't build on that foundation in Christ, everything around us is just going to eventually collapse? If we do not build our personal lives on the foundation and the principle of Christ in us, eventually everything around us is just going to fall. If we do not build our families in Christ and on Christ, eventually the turmoil of this world, the temptations of this world, the trials that you and I have to face, Satan's attacks against us, if we are not building and standing on Christ in us, all of that around us, it will collapse. We need this, and the church needed this. So he speaks into them, and he wants to build them, and he wants them to continue to stand on that gospel message in which they received. Now, remember with me, in the very opening verses of this letter, he talks about the growth that was taking place within them. And he talked about how they were being discipled and how they understood. And I really feel like this letter makes so much sense to you and I, because before me, I believe this is a growing body of believers, not just in number, but I mean in your spirits. I believe you desire to be discipled. I believe you desire to have a hunger. I believe you love the Lord. You wouldn't even be in here this morning if you didn't have a passion and a love for the Lord. And so you are here and you have this desire. So just much like the believers in Colossae, Paul speaks to them. He says, okay, But as you stand on that truth and as you hunger for more, let me give you some ideas of what spiritual maturity looks like. And so in chapter 2, in the first 5 verses, he kind of gives us this outline of some evidence of spiritual maturity is. And so we'll just look at it together. In verse number 2, the first part of that, he says that spiritual mature believers, they are going to be encouraged in heart. What is he saying? That means you're simply not going to allow discouragement to easily defeat or get the best of you. Now, all of us understand that we all at some point, whether during the day, during the week, or somewhere along the journey, you and I are going to have to fight discouragement. But if we're growing in Christ, if we're growing in His Word, if we're growing in the Spirit that is in us, Christ in us, we are going to learn not to stay defeated and stay discouraged. Paul is not saying you'll never be discouraged, but he is saying as you grow in Christ, as a mature Christian believer, you do not allow discouragement to get the best of you, but you rise above that in the power of Jesus' name. He's speaking that to them, and I think that's good for all of us. He also goes on to say in the second part of that verse that that maturity, it'll have an evidence of being united in love. That means you're placing high importance on valuing and caring for one another. This church does a tremendous job, because I'm speaking specifically to this church. I know there are those who will be listening online, but my word is for you today and for this church. I know you love the Lord, and I know you love one another, but an area that we have to continue to grow in is valuing one another and caring for one another and being led by the Spirit to make sure we're taking care of each other. If the Lord lays someone upon your heart, pray for them. If He wants you to call them, call them. If you don't see them in church, don't call me. You call them, and you say, the Lord has laid them upon my heart. If we're waiting for the pastor and the pastoral team and the deacon to make contact with everybody that calls this church their home, we are going to miss the mark every single day. Amen. The church doesn't grow because the pastor grows. The church grows because the people grow together in the name of Jesus Christ. This is not about sitting back and watching how good everybody does it. It's about being involved of what God's doing in and through your life. Amen. Amen. So he's saying spiritual maturity, there you value one another. You value what's happening in your eyes. And I'm not saying that pastors, that we don't care and that we don't want to speak to you. But if you want to see the church reach its full potential, feel the power and feel the presence of God, then it's all of us together from the balcony to the floor and everyone up here on the platform. It's all of us valuing each other and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us in our relationships. Third thing he says, he's saying complete and confident understanding of Christ in verse number 3. That is just simply having this resolve inside of you that Jesus is God. He is Lord. He is Savior. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. Nothing or no religion or thought or anything new in this culture ever take that away from you, that Jesus is the one and only. Amen? Then he speaks to them in verse number 4. Another evidence of spiritual maturity is that you're unwavering against deception. That means you're ready to rise against the everyday deception that is thrown our way. You hear me say it often. Every day, our faith is under attack. Christianity is under attack. There are many who are trying to say Christianity is outdated and irrelevant. There are many who are trying to put Christianity in a box with all these other false religions. There are those who are trying to put Christianity as a mythology, just like Greek mythology would be, just to some really cool stories. And maybe there's a little bit of historic fact, but perhaps not all of it. Can I tell you, be unwavering and stand against any deception that tries to say the Word of God is not the infallible Word of God and the gospel message is not the truth in which you need for your life. To go along with that, in verse number 5, he says another sign of spiritual maturity is that you stand firm in your faith, and that's that you're not backing down to living the Christian life, not backing down to wanting to grow, not backing down to want to bear fruit in your life. He gives them these things, and he helps them understand what moving forward looks like as they grow in Christ. So for you and I this morning, I would say, if you need to measure your growth, if you need help in asking those personal questions, here's a good passage to go to, a good passage to measure up your spiritual life. If you want to kind of see where you're at in your walk, right here, measure yourself up to these things that Paul speaks to the believers in the Colossian church. But not just his words and not just his proclamation. I also see something powerful in his actions. go with me again to verse 29, going into chapter 2, verse 1. I want you to take note of the word struggling, or in some of your versions we'll say striving. Those words are translated from the Greek word agonizomai, and it means to struggle as you compete for the prize. When you get into chapter 2 and verse number 1, another form of the word is being used where simply in many of your versions, as in mine in the ESV, it says to struggle. Perhaps you have a New King James or King James or an NIV and it has a different word, or it'll have the word conflict. All of those words are coming from the same Greek translation, which is agon. And it means an effort in putting forth and competing. You can tell both of these words are athletic terms referring to strenuous effort put forth specifically by a runner to win the race. And you can kind of hear it in the pronunciation of those words. If I did it any justice, it's where we get our English word agony. That's where we get our word agony. What Paul is saying here is when it came to ministry, when it came to serving the Lord, when it came to ministering to the believers, when it came to living with Christ in him and living the Christian life, Paul gave everything he had. Every ounce of energy he spent himself on living for Christ, Christ in him. And I think what a powerful and beautiful example. Now, you and I would read that and we'd say, way to go, Paul. Good job. We're proud of you. Thank you for that wonderful little bit overachiever example, but we appreciate that. Can I tell you that's the mindset and the attitude, though, that you and I should have? No matter what's happening within our day, whether it's when we're first getting up and having breakfast, maybe with the family, having our cup of coffee, when we get to the office, to the workplace, out in the field, wherever we may be, whether we're young and we're in class or in school, no matter what it is in which we're doing, we can have this attitude inside of us that I'm going to just do it as I'm doing unto the Lord, which he will later say in this letter. I'm living my life in Christ. So my conversation in Christ. My thoughts in Christ. Even if I'm working on something that is nothing in Scripture, has nothing to do with the church, and has everything to do with my job in this moment, I'm doing it in Christ because it is he in me that's working in and through my life. When you live in such a manner, your life is just pouring out this incredible light in this example of who Christ is and the truth of his message. Paul here is teaching us, though, at times he was literally exhausted because of the passionate effort and energy that he put forth in serving the Lord, in prayer, and in ministry. Now, before you get too hung up on this thought, because I know some there are, you're saying, okay, Pastor, now are you saying that I've got to do all this in order to be saved? No, we're not talking salvation. Let me say it like this. Salvation comes by faith, which is the ministry of Christ. It was his effort of going to the cross and being that perfect lamb, that perfect sacrifice. And it is because of Christ that you and I can believe, we confess, and we can have Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of our lives. But with that saving work, now comes spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity and the benefits thereof come by knowing, doing, and living in Christ. And spiritual maturity is the effort that you put forth. Salvation, Christ did the work, and you have to believe and accept him. Now, as you accept him and understand that revelation inside of you, it causes you to strive within to say, okay, I want to grow in this salvation. I want to grow in this understanding. Again, I want to walk in that fullness. Now, as I really thought about this, here's the saying that come to mind. Spiritual growth is not handed out as some sort of entitlement for being a Christian. You must labor, strive, and work hard. Now think about that thought for a minute. You probably cannot understand where I'm going. Especially in the culture we live today, I don't mean to be offensive, but you kind of have that sense of entitlement. Can I tell you, when you accepted Christ, you automatically were not spiritually mature. When you accepted Christ, you automatically did not have all the spiritual answers, right? How many's got all the spiritual answers today? Thank God no one raised their hand, all right? And if you did, I'm glad I did not see it, all right? Coming to church, even coming to church in a faithful manner, week to week, doesn't automatically make you a mature Christian. Doesn't even mean you're growing. It means you're attending, and so you've got that part down. Even if you understand the principle of tithing and giving, so you attend and you give, that still doesn't mean that there's a ton of spiritual growth that's taken place in your life. Just because you show up, just because you went to the Christian bookstore and bought you a Bible and had your name beautifully printed on it, and just because you have it sitting there under a beautiful light within your house for all to see, if you never apply yourself daily to the Christian principles of life, you are not just going to receive some entitlement of spiritual growth. I'm preaching specifically to us, all right, to this church. And I love you guys, and I believe we're so many ways and so many things we're good at, but let's not have a sense of entitlement. Oh, I'm going to show up to Coweta Assembly of God, and everything's going to be good, and the church is going to be strong. It's going to be powerful, and the worship and the preaching, everything's just going to be great. Can I tell you, we're not entitled to that. That is something that you and I together have to work for and toil and strive and labor and allow God to move inside of our lives. Amen? All of it. All of it, from the prayer time to us agreeing together to us serving together throughout the week in the ministries of the church, it takes all of us doing what God wants us to do in order to see things happen in a powerful way. Now, I have some personal thoughts here, and they're not meant to be offensive, but just to stir us, okay? Let me stir you and challenge you. If you get offended by these, go home and pray and ask God to help you grow so you're not always offended at something, all right? All right. I could be wrong, but it certainly feels, though, that today people, and even in the church, they want the prize at the finish line without running the race. People want a champion's belt without ever having to get into the ring and fight for it. People want an identity of maturity without presenting evidence of understanding and wisdom. The revelation of God. I even put this down. I don't know what this was for, but it's for somebody. People want a solid paycheck without putting in a solid day's work. I've signed up to work 40 hours a week. I first need to see my paycheck. And if I decide to come, I will come. All right. People want recognition for their posted words without any accountability to truth. People want a perfect marriage without accountability and responsibility to what it takes to have a healthy marriage in Christ. People want good kids without having the responsibility of being a godly parent that has to pour into them. Michelle and I had this saying long ago, we say it sometimes, where'd the youth pastor go wrong? Where'd the children's pastor go wrong? It's not theirs, it's yours. People want a strong church. Everybody wants a strong church. But not everybody dives right in to help it be so. People want a lot without considering the cost of what it takes. Every portion of Scripture concerning any type of spiritual growth, I have found, has a responsibility that comes with it. Growth requires labor. And at times, the labor is exhausting. And it's agonizing, just as Paul writes. But it is in those moments where some of our greatest growth and some of our greatest fruits are produced. We see it in Paul himself, a man who once persecuted Christians, who came to the saving knowledge of Christ, and then begins to grow. And we see, obviously, in his writings, he became a man of prayer, a man of purpose, and a man of passion. So today, as we get ready to pray, as we get ready to go back and worship the Lord and give our all to him and allow him to minister to us, because that drawing spirit is very much still here, because the Lord wants to minister to your life, we have to continue to ask ourselves questions of personal growth. And you and I have to be ready to respond to the answers in which the Lord is going to give to us. And you and I have to take the responsibility of what God wants to grow inside of us. I wrote here, as a pastor, one of my mandates is to equip the church and help you to grow and be effective by presenting the truth of Scripture. As I do so, the empowering doesn't come from anything of me. It comes from the power and the truth of God's living word and the Holy Spirit that lives in you. How you receive it, what you choose to do with it, is completely up to you. I would ask you the question this morning to Coweta Assembly of God, to every individual here that this is your church, and to every guest, are you positioning yourself in Christ and allowing him to work in you and on you and through you as you move forward every day in every circumstance? You know, I put down here once again remarks from my opening statements of last week. I believe with all my heart that every single one of us in this church should have a hunger to want to be nourished. We want to be fed. We want that spiritual thirst to be quenched. We should all have a mind that wants to increase in the capacity of knowledge of Scripture. Our worship, I believe, every week should go even deeper, and I believe that. No matter what happens in here, no matter what happens on the platform, our worship should just go deeper as we continue to understand Christ in each season of our life. Our hope should be a confident increasing in measure, and our life should consistently desire and bear good fruit. I know this as we get ready to pray. God desires to do an incredible, incredible work in every single life that is here today. But it's you and I to say, okay, God, I'm ready to go with you as you do that. And it doesn't just happen, but there are times we have to really labor for that. When you consider Paul's words, remember when he said, I'm absent in body? He couldn't be with them. He couldn't minister to them in person. So a big part of what he is saying, the toil, the labor, the struggle, and the striving, those words are reflecting his prayer life. That's a big portion of what that scripture is saying. Because he was bound in prison, so he couldn't be with the believers. So a lot of his toiling was the spiritual warfare he was doing while he prayed for the church. And so I want you to think about that, because you know what? I believe there are times I don't believe we mean to, but we just want it to happen just like that. And can I tell you, even from the life of Paul, there are some times when we got to toil and labor and struggle and even be exhausted as we give our prayers to the Lord. Because it's in those moments where God is doing something, not for his benefit, but for our benefit in those times. It's not just always pushing through the discouragement. It's pushing through in everything. It's pushing through in prayer. It's striving and fighting the fight and saying, okay, God, I'm gonna do my part along with you. And when we respond to God in such a manner, we're headed in the right direction when it comes to the spiritual growth in our life. There are many of you here today, you need some answers. You need a touch of God. And you're thinking, well, I can't get to the growth until I receive this answer. Can I tell you, a part of what you need is Christ moving you forward.